raising ceremonies.
Welcome, friends and neighbors, to this, the 9th Florida Folk Festival. We are delighted that you are here, and we would like you especially to feel that you are a part of every performance. Like most of all, for you to feel that this is your festival. We think it is quite fitting. We think it quite timely. And here on this date, 1961, at this moment, a few moments after our nation has successfully launched a man into space, that we are here assembled for the purpose of preserving, perpetuating, and leaving for others that has been left for us in folklore, folk art, folk crafts, and folk traditions. We hope that by having come here that you will feel that you have a greater appreciation for your nation and for those who have lived before us, because that we enjoy today has been given to us and handed down to us by those who had it not quite so easy. So even though we have come for a lot of entertainment, we have come again to refresh our minds of the sacrifices that have been made, the accomplishments that have been realized, and the gains that have been ours through the years to enjoy this American way of life. I think it would also be timely, and I would be remiss in my remarks if I did not say to you that your presence, those of you who are participating from year to year in this festival, have made it possible for us to spread our wings just a little bit and a number of pride tell you today that our festival last year was declared to be the best in the nation the most authentic, the best in quality, and the most enjoyable. Again, you have helped to make it so. We want you to stay until the end of our festival, when the Sunday afternoon program has been finished. We welcome you to this area, to this festival again. Please make yourself to home for a wonderful occasion. Thank you.
Welcome again. I say again because I know some of you have been here before in years previous, and we are glad to see you back. You come year after year, as I do, I suppose, because you like the old songs and the old stories and the old dances and the old customs, sometimes just as well or better than some of the new ones. We like to hear those again and again. The folk culture that's been handed down to us from our parents and grandparents, and we like to preserve it because they've given us one of the best heritages and cultures in the world. We like some of the old stories. I like one particular that I've heard. When the Methodist preacher visited this farmer, he took him out on the river, something like our Suwannee River, fishing. And as they were going up and down the river, all of a sudden the preacher says, I got one, hi, hi. I said, oh, I lost my false teeth. And the farmer said, well, don't worry, preacher. He said, well, I'll go back to shore. So he took the boat back, went up to the house, which wasn't far away, and came back. He had a long string, something on the end of the string, and he went back to where they were fishing, dropped the teeth, and he let that string over the boat, you know. And the preacher was there batting his gums together and worried to death. And that string began to twitch and jerk. And finally the farmer pulled it up. And you know, on the end of that string were those false teeth just clamped on a piece of fried chicken. Todd Ziggy Bray. You know, Methodist preachers traditionally like fried chicken, and we like to hear a lot of stories. My father's a Methodist preacher, and I've heard him tell many one. And there's an old folk song called Methodist Pie. I won't sing it. I'm not a singer. You've got some good folk singers coming along in the festival. But it goes something like this. I wish I had a big white house, 18 stories high, and every story in that house was filled with chicken pie. I can hear those Methodist preachers singing that song now. Well, welcome again. We're glad to have you. And I enjoy it every year, and I know you enjoy it every year. Many people have gone into making this a success. You in the audience, as our president, Mr. Aubrey Fowler, has said, many others behind the scenes, but there's no one person that has done more than our director. I claim that I've done a great deal for the Folk Festival because I claim that I got her up here. But she's so good that I'm running competition in several others say that they are responsible for getting her here. But anyway, we have her, and she's one of the best directors and one of the best conductors and one of the best folk storytellers, and in fact, she's best in a lot of ways. She has just been elected to a very high honor as chairman of the National Folk Music Committee of the National Folk Festival. And I know you are glad to see again and have with us Cousin Thelma.
Good morning. My, this is a fine, pretty gathering, and whoever was responsible for my being here, I'm mighty glad they went and done it. Because nobody enjoys what she does more than I. Now, I want to tell you a confounding thing that by 5 o'clock Sunday afternoon, we shall have had singing and dancing and telling us tales and bringing us wondrous folkways over 2,000 participants. Isn't that impressive? And somebody asked me what we do with them. Well, we've got lots of woods here. I want to tell you that if the program seems long, we make it that way purposely. If you get tired, you can go up and visit in the museum. or go take a boat ride, or see the whip crackers, or learn to pop the whip up in the area near the museum. Go over into the crafts tent and visit the wonderful folk craftsmen who are here. Visit with our first citizens of Florida, the Seminole Indians who are here and anxious to talk to you. At this time, I'm going to introduce a folkway that's as old almost as time itself. And since it's almost May Day, how better way to open the folk festival than with the winding of the maypole? Here they come. It is highly appropriate that true friends of the First Citizens of Florida, our Seminole friends who have been coming to the festival for a good many years now, introduce our Indian friends. Albert Devane is a true friend of the Seminole Indians. He lives at Lake Placid. Has lived down there how long, Albert?
40 years.
He says he's lived down there 40 years. That's a good long time. And he's always loved them and visited with them and been a true friend. Albert is going to introduce our Indian friends to us. You stay here, Albert. Let her do the leg work.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Go on, introduce.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure to make this annual trip to White Springs and the Florida Folk Festival. Billy Bowlegs and some of the other very prominent Seminoles have made several trips. On account of being late, I'm going to make my little talk short, but I would like to tell you a little something about the Seminoles. The Seminole Nation started at Alachua, Savannah, about 1710 or 1720, and break away from the creeks. What I want to make is that the first overall chief of the Seminoles was a Snake clan from the Creek tribe of Georgia. His name was Secaufe, referred to by Bartram in 1765 to 74. Now, Billy Bowlegs is a direct descendant. I mean his family or his clan. We speak of clans as a family, just like we have a family of a certain name. Well, they're of a clan or family. And his family, the Snake clan, has been the overall chief, the ruling chief of the Seminoles since 1710. Secaufe, King Payne, Billy Bowlegs the First, Micanopy the Second, who was the last overall chief. And Billy is of that family. Billy is 99 years old this last February on Little Moon, as he called it, which is our first quarter. He'll be 100 in 8 months from now. He was born in what is now Highlands County. He spent lots of time hunting. He's more or less an ambassador among the Indians. But for time, I'd tell you more. But I won't tell you. He's a grand old man. I've been knowing him for many years. And as I say, he's 99 years old, a grand old man of the Seminoles.
Billy is a little hard of hearing, but he would love to talk to you. He taught himself to read and speak English, which was quite a feat. And it was Billy who manned the Sears Roebuck catalog and the Montgomery Ward catalog and did the ordering off for the rest of the Indian nation. And that was very important to them.
Save time now. Start talking about it.
This is Reverend Joseph Billy of the Seminoles. Reverend Joseph Billy has I might say to start with that his father was of the Wind clan, who was a very prominent clan for the Seminoles. And his father was Florida's first educated Seminole, Billy Conipajo, or they called him Billy Cornpatch. He was educated with the children of Captain F. A. Henry in Fort Myers and LaBelle in 1874 to 78, right in that period somewhere. And Josie is a former medicine man of the Miccosukee Creeks, or the Big Cypress. Joseph Billy got religion and joined the church. He made a preacher. Well, he gave up his medicine man. His brother Ingram Billy is now chief medicine man of the same tribe. Joseph Billy, with all of his work that he to make the medicine man, which took about 7 years altogether of learning the herbs of the woods and making the medicine, he has practiced it, and he is now known as the Indian doctor by both Indian and white. Joseph Billy has an education. He went to school, a Bible school in Lakeland, I believe it was. Joseph Billy is a very fine man. I might say further that the Seminole Indians, his family, are the medicine men of that tribe, have had a tranquilizer long before we ever thought of Milltown. They have used it. You don't see their people in the, well, I might say they handle their own mental troubles. And he is the man who sold his tranquilizing medicine to the Upjohn pharmaceutical company, who is now it's under contract. And Joseph's been coming up here for several years. He's a very fine man. He's loved by his own people and by all the white people that know him. Thank you.
Are you going to sing a little song for us?
Singing song.
You going to sing a little short song for us?
Singing song.
Yeah, she wants you to sing a little song, Josie.
Hey, la, so, hi, yanni, hi, oh, yanani. Hey, la, so, hi, yanni, hey, la, so, hi, yanni, yale, kosha, ya, yale, kosha, nawe, ko, hey, la, so, hi, yanni.
Well, it gives me great pleasure to introduce Frank Shore. Frank Shore is the chief medicine man of the Brighton Creeks, of the Brighton Reservation. This is handed down heredity through heredity. His uncles and great uncles and so on down the line before him were chief medicine men. And Frank, his heredity goes on back to, well, as far back as I can find history, way before the all the records that we've got, the military records, up to 1842. But it was his people who furnished the medicine men of this tribe. Frank has a family of seven children. One daughter is graduating this year from Haskell Military Institute in Lawrence, Kansas. And another son who is attending, graduated from Okeechobee and attending college in Oklahoma. What is it? What's the name of it? And the other children are in the high school here, and Frank's a very fine man. He's a very fine family. He's well liked by both his people and the both the Indians, Seminole friends, and white people. Is there anything else, Miss Selma? I know we're running short.
Well, yes, all right. We're late, and okay. We'll introduce the children at another time.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you very much, Cousin Albert. I'd like to say they'll be here at the whole time. They're staying down at the Miami Motel. You'll find Frank's lovely wife, Lottie, over under the chickie. She brought her sewing machine, and you must not miss seeing her sew. And she's going to make up a pot of sofki in case you all get hungry. You can have a little sofki with her. That's their bread, their staff of life, their bread and their potatoes. Very different from what we eat. And they're the lovely girls, and they're going to sing for us later on. But right now, we'll move on with our program. And see two folk dances, a shoemaker's dance, and Zootio Zootio. And I had these children do that by special request. The Carver School Elementary Group with Eunice Williams as their leader know many traditional play party games. And it's always a pleasure to have them on the program. Now, I want all you participants to remember that I want you, daylight's a-burning, I want you all lined up, ready to go. And while one group's on, I want the next group to get ready to be on. And before this group is off, when they are finished, you start coming on so we can whiz right through this program. And all you people sitting in the sun, don't mind a bit, because it's going to move around and you'll be in the shade after a little bit. Wait a minute. I want you to get catty-cornered. Let's get them catty-cornered on the stage so the audience can see them catty-cornered, you know, from this corner to that corner, line that way. Up toward the front. That's right. That's good. All right, close up your ranks. Sure, you're as interested in that as we are. This is the only group that, or children from that school are the only ones we've ever seen play that particular game, and we think it should be preserved. Thank you very much, boys and girls. Now, Fred, I didn't mean to overlook you. How could I? Our wonderful Creek friend, Fred Beaver, an artist who's here with his beautiful paintings, and don't go away without seeing all his beautiful. He's won honor after honor throughout the United States as his ability as an artist. But he comes as a folk festival friend all the way from Ardmore, Oklahoma. Fred Beaver. Wild Fred.
Cousin?
Take it up a little from the bottom. That's right.
Good to be here. Long journey. real rough. Mountains, creeks, and what in big water call Great Father. I guess that's Mississippi. It's a pleasure to be back again this year. I want to thank Mr. Foster and his cousin Thelma and all connected with this festival. It is indeed an honor to be invited to come from home state. My ancestors were originally around this area, north of here. Possibly these people are might have been my close relatives. According to history, they may be. But we speak the same dialect, the Muskogee language. So this morning, not take too much of your time, I would like to sing you some social songs that in connection with the folk festival, as the Indians did in their day. These songs are forgotten, almost forgotten. Younger Indians growing up, even though they may be full bloods, or same age as you, young kids, they grow up not knowing without a single word of Creek. All they speak now is English. I'm having a hard time myself, being older, I guess. But anyway, I'd like to sing you a couple of chants, and use one here for the last 4 years, but I'll use a different one. All these chants are connected with the Green Corn Festival they have every year. Only about 2-3 tribal towns among the Creek Nation in Oklahoma carry on this tradition. And the rest of the time is spent in festivities. They have during these times, they're happy. They're giving thanks to the first fruit of the season, especially the corn, and all the young people, as well as older people, are in a heavy festive mood. They yell, they have fun, play jokes. So that's what we're going to do this morning. First, I will sing you a little chant. This is a rattle. This is my accompaniment, my music, my piano. Everything is done in rhythm. But this is made out of coconut. When it's new, they bore holes inside, drained it, put it on an ant hill. And the ants will get in there, eat up all the meat. In a few weeks' time, you have hollow coconut. And you bore a hole, put a stick through it, you got a rattle. See? All right. This is a social song that we use as if you folks have used folk songs in your day. Oh, hey, hey. Now, I want you, old or young, to help me. Everybody's happy. So, we shall sing another song. When I give you this sign, I want you to hoop, holler, yell, whatever you want to do. I want to hear you. We're happy. I'm one of you. We're all in friendly fellowship. So, you be ready now. I'll give you a high sign like this. Everybody yell. Okay. We hey yo ho oh ho, 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 we hey yo ho oh ho. Ah! Oh, that's wonderful, wonderful. Now, when the missionaries came to the Creek Nation before they were migrated to the West, a group of Presbyterian missionaries came among them, devised a language, written language, Creek language, or Muskogee language, and they made songbooks. And then they also taught the Creeks how to read and write in their own language. And that's sort of extinct now. So, but one of the songs they, in a religious way, taught the Creek Nation was this departing song. After all their religious meeting, the last song they sang was this song. I was just going to sing a portion of it, and I think Reverend Billy will recognize it.
When we have our big groups of children here, we like for them to see some of the unusual folkiana that exists in our state. Cousin Paul Woodard is supposed to be here, but I don't believe he's arrived yet. So, as I said a minute ago, daylight's burning, and we won't wait for him. He'll come in after a while. Maybe his Model T Ford broke down, or maybe one of the oxen died. Who knows? But I'm sure he'll be here. But till they do get here, we are going to have the folk dance, Barbara. Are they ready? Four folk dances, one right after the other, presented by the fourth grade from Central Elementary School, Lake City. You notice that we have two sets of boy twins in that lovely bunch of Lake City children. Let's give the twins a hand. And I didn't finish telling you that was fourth grade, sixth grade, fifth grade, and sixth grade from two schools, Central Elementary and Melrose Elementary in Lake City. Now, I hope you have scrutinized your program. If you have, you know all about water witching. It's going to be demonstrated for you boys and girls right this minute. And I want you to crane your necks so you can see. Cousin Lonnie Morgan belongs to us. He's a member of our staff. And he witched the water for all the wells that we have in Stephen Foster Memorial Park. Now, I think that he might find another place where we can dig a well if you will watch him closely. So watch him. Come on, Cousin Lonnie. There he is.
This little old stick here doesn't look like it very much. Some of you might think, well, he just does that within himself. But it's not. It really turns within itself. There's nothing I can do about it turning whenever it goes over the stream of water. So if you'll all watch it, you can see that it really turns without me moving.
And it will crack the bark. It will split the bark in his hand. So you can examine it, and if you, well, all right, watch it. There it goes down. See it? Cousin Lonnie, are you going to come back? Good. Give me my program. Seeing is certainly believing, isn't it? Now, you know, about 3 or 4 years ago, Cousin Foster Barnes and I decided that if I was going to direct a folk festival, then I ought to see one. The only one I'd ever seen was this one right here at Stephen Foster Memorial. So I went traipsing off first to North Carolina, then Nashville, Tennessee, then to Washington, D.C., then to Eureka Springs, Arkansas. That was a busman's holiday. I went on my own for my vacation last year. And I met this fine folk singer that you are about to enjoy now. Mark Moore, minstrel Mark Moore, collects folk songs all over these United States and sings them. He's going to accompany himself on the alto harp and very differently. And I think Mark is going to ask you to sing with him some. So now don't miss Cousin Mark Moore.
Thank you, Cousin Thelma. We're going to make a little change in the program here. I want to say, first of all, that I'm real happy to be in Florida. I haven't been here before. It was a wonderful trip, except I didn't like about the last few miles in one of your neighboring states here. That road was so bad, my car, Old Blue, has still got the shakes from it. My hair is still falling out, and I lost 42 fillings on the way down that 17-mile stretch of road. Now, of course, it's impossible to lose 42 fillings because you haven't got that many teeth, except some of them kept coming out, and they came out more than once, you know. Well, I like Florida, what I've seen of it, and it's a very wonderful place. Now, this change in the program, we decided you sat still long enough. So we're going to ask you to sing along on a little song that goes real well. I don't suppose you know it. It came originally from England, and I think that this is a good fitting start because Cousin Thelma was present last year in Washington when I first heard this song sung by a young man from New York City. And it's a real great song. Here's the way the chorus goes. Listen close now so you can learn it real fast. And he played upon a ladle, a ladle, a ladle. He played upon a ladle, and his name was Aiken Drum. Now that's all there is to it. I'll do her again. You can get it. Now, all you kids, listen close. And he played upon a ladle, a ladle, a ladle. He played upon a ladle, and his name was Aiken Drum. Try it once now. Here we go. Everybody together. And he played upon a ladle, a ladle, a ladle. Played upon a ladle, and his name was Aiken Drum. That's real good. Now, the only thing you got to watch is keeping together. So tap your foot just a little bit, and everybody keep the same tempo. I'll count it out for you once. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. Now, don't drag it. All right, one more time, and you'll have it. Now. And he played upon a ladle, a ladle, a ladle. He played upon a ladle, and his name was Aiken Drum. All right, now I'll teach you a little harmony that goes along with it. If you got a tenor or soprano, you can sing way up here. And he played upon a ladle, a ladle, a ladle. He played upon a ladle, and his name was Aiken Drum. Then the melody comes underneath that. And then an alto part or a baritone goes like this. And he played upon a ladle, a ladle, a ladle. He played upon a ladle, and his name was Aiken Drum. Now this young man right over here looks like he might be a bass, so we'll teach him a part to sing too.
And he played upon a ladle, a ladle, a ladle. He played upon a ladle, and his name was Aiken Drum.
That's all there is to it. So pick a part, any part. We'll do it once more for practice, and then I'll sing some verses, and you can sing along on the chorus. Now let your hair...